Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to NBA Clutch Time. I'm your host, Brandon Burroughs, a.k.a. Yasha the Beast. And as I always say, we're going to get right into it. So, I just want to address a couple of things. I'm not going to say that I'm ever happy about somebody losing their job. Will say that the firing of Doc Rivers was a long time coming. Gonna call it for what it is. We have a very interesting finals matchup coming up. It's gonna be LeBron James versus his former GM, Pat Riley, and his former team, the Miami Heat. So it's gonna be a Lakers versus Heat finals. First time that's ever happened. And I'm definitely looking forward to it. there's a couple of narratives that's going on. One being that the NBA is rigging it for the Lakers to win it all. I'm not going to comment too much about that. I'm not going to say certain things that I do know and certain things that I've definitely seen and paid attention to. And I'm just going to keep my mouth shut when it comes down to that in a public way. But what I am going to say is that the Heat ain't playing no games. If you think that the Lakers are just going to come in here and sweep the Heat right under a rug, you are sadly mistaken. Bam Adebayo, Tyler Hero, Jimmy Butler, Duncan Robinson, Goran Dragic. These boys came to play. Granted, they're not A-listers like LeBron James and Anthony Davis. But Jimmy Butler is a B-lister. Goran Dragic is a B-lister. Bam Adebayo, I would say he recently made his way up to being a B-lister. Tyler Hero, you know, as a first-year guard, is amazing. Right? Duncan Robinson, one of the most deadly three-point shooters that we've seen in a while, coming out the gate. This Miami team has chemistry that is just amazing. And the simple fact is because most of these players have already played with each other. A lot of these players have already been on the team last year and the year before. So they've played with each other for a couple of years, and they just had the additions of Jimmy Butler, you know, bench contribution from Andre Iguodala, you know, and Robinson and Hero, as the shooters have just been maniacal. Pat Riley is a genius when it comes down to putting pieces of the puzzle together. And I think the Lakers don't realize what they're in for and the fight that they're going to have going against a team as scrappy as this team, as chemistry balanced as this team is, as great defensively as this team is, as efficient as this team is. They just don't know what they're getting into. They don't. LeBron might, but that's because LeBron has worked with Pat Riley for 4 years, and he's no dummy. He's no idiot. But a lot of these other guys, it's their first time going to the finals. They don't know what to expect. I mean, Dwight Howard and Rondo do, of course. But then other than that, and Danny Green. But, you know, other than that, the majority of the other players have never been to the finals. And when they have been to the finals, they were not key players or players that got a lot of minutes in the finals. So they really don't know the type of pressure that's really going to be on them and, you know, how this is really going to pan out. But I guess on average, a lot of people wouldn't know, right? And I think that's extremely fair. The age of this Lakers team is something that is pretty balanced. You got some old guys, some young guys, and some seasoned veterans. So I think that's a pretty good balance when it comes down to the age difference. You know, same thing with Miami Heat. You got some young guys, some seasoned veterans, and some old guys. You know, a lot of people don't realize Goran Dragic's going on like 34 years old, right? Like, he was on the Suns when Steve Nash was on the Suns, and nobody really remembers that. But no, that was a thing. He was Steve Nash's backup on the Suns. Goran Dragic has made his way, you know, playing with a couple of different teams, and dude has made a come up like I have never seen ever. You know, for years he was slept on, became an all-star for the first time, I think, at what, like age 32? Like, for that to be your first year being an all-star is crazy. You know, just for what it is, it's like, wow. Yeah, his first All-Star game was at age 31. like looking back at that, that's ridiculous. You know, because he had a couple of seasons where it was just like, damn, like, he didn't make All-Star that year. But, you know, he's had a couple of seasons where he's averaged, you know, 20 points with, like, you know, 6 or 7 assists. You know, 3-4 rebounds, a steal and a half, maybe going on 2 steals. He's very efficient as a point guard, good shooter. There's honestly nothing bad I can say about Goran Dragic. He's a good passer. He's a good shooter. He's a good defender. He doesn't turn the ball over that often. He's a great, well-rounded player, and I'm very interested to see how he's gonna perform on that big stage. And I think he's gonna keep his nerves with him. I don't think he's gonna lose his nerve whatsoever. And I'm just sitting back and I'm waiting this out, like, huh, how's he gonna perform? That's my main thing. I know Jimmy Butler's gonna go out there and he's gonna have him a good old time on the court. He's gonna play intense like how he usually does. I'm very interested to see how Bam Adebayo's gonna do. Andre Iguodala is going to bring his intangibles like he usually does. Tyler Hero, this 20-year-old, I'm really itching to see what he's going to do in the finals. But, you know, I feel the same way about Anthony Davis. I want to see what Rondo's going to, you know, does he still have that same intensity in the finals that he had 10 to 12 years ago with the 2 finals that he was in? We already know what LeBron's going to do in the finals. We know what he's going to bring. Will Danny Green step it up in the finals? We know that Danny Green can be a finals performer. We've seen that with the Spurs. JaVale McGee, are they going to utilize him in the finals and try and, you know, get the height advantage and utilize it over Miami like they did Denver? It's like I said, it's really all about, you know, how people are really going to adjust and adapt, because Miami's defense is crazy, especially when you look at their mid and backcourt. Like, you got Goran Dragic, you got Jimmy Butler, you got Andre Iguodala. Like, these guys are, we know what they bring to the table on defense. You know, that's never going to come into question. But there's a couple of things that I definitely want to address. So please stay tuned. And, you know, I will get to you guys in just a few moments after these messages. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we are back. And I want to get on. I want to talk about a couple different things. A couple of rumors been going around. You know, I'm all for team building, you know. I'm not big on all the superstar pairings and stuff like that, as long as it's relatively equal. I'm not big on stacking the deck. Like, you know, Clippers have PG and Kawhi, which was great. The Lakers have LeBron and AD, which is great. You know, Houston had Westbrook and Harden. The Nets now have, KD and Kyrie. You know, there's pairings. You know, there's a great power of two. which is, you know, an article that I made a year ago, which was called The Power of Two. And it was all about, you know, pairings in the NBA. I didn't feel like Giannis and Chris Middleton were a great pairing. Like, not to say that they don't work well together. You know, Giannis is the aggressor. Chris Middleton is the shooting support guy. You know, and they both are great at what they do. However, you know, if with all the talks of where Chris Paul is going to go, Houston finally realizes what they were missing out on. Yeah, but well, we all know he's not going back to Houston. And the main area that people are saying that Chris Paul is going to go to most likely is going to be the Milwaukee Bucks. And I feel like Chris Paul and Giannis need each other. Chris Paul has an IQ that Giannis needs on his team. And Giannis has the athleticism and aggression that Chris Paul needs next to him. You combine that with a shooting big man like Brook Lopez, who can also, you know, get the blocks, mid-range and long-range threat, you know, like Chris Middleton. And, you know, some good support around the Bucks, and boom, like, you have a recipe for a finals team next year, you know. But that Bucks team was missing IQ, and Chris Paul is definitely somebody who brings that to the table. That's without an if and but or maybe. Now, that is only if Giannis was to stay in Milwaukee, which a lot of reports are coming out saying that it's set in stone, but until I see paperwork, it's not set in stone to me. Allen Iverson recently came out and said that he felt as if Giannis should go to the Golden State Warriors. With this season exposing Draymond Green's lack of basketball ability, you know, he needs that system in Golden State for him to even just be reliable. Without that system, Draymond Green is he didn't look like a starter. I hate to say it like that. He did not look like a starter. He did not look like he would start on most teams in the NBA. you know, we gave him a pass for not averaging double digit anything for a couple of years, because it was just like, oh, you know, he's the guy setting the screens, and he's the guy boxing out, and he's the guy scrapping. And but this year, he didn't have to do any of that. He just had to, you know, go out there and just do something. Like, we called Draymond a great passer, but it's like, he wasn't that great at setting up the young guys that were out there. We call Draymond Green a scorer who can step up whenever Clay and Steph aren't able to. And, you know, no Clay and Steph this year, and Draymond was like non-existent with the ball in his hands. And it wasn't pretty. Okay, I'm gonna just say it like that. It wasn't pretty. And I think Golden State can use somebody who can be flourished in that system, but does not have to rely strictly on that system to flourish. And I think Giannis would be a great fit for Golden State. With that being said, am I advocating for Giannis to go to Golden State publicly? No, I'm not. He has a good team. And like I said, that team is just missing, you know, maybe one or two pieces that's keeping them away from a championship. But like I said, you go out there and you get Chris Paul, and it's like, boom. Like, you're automatically going to have a recipe for success next to Giannis that can, you know, take him to the finals. I am kind of excited to see what we're going to get from John Wall next year. Everybody's,
you know, talking about it. Oh, John Wall's coming back next year. Okay, well, that means that Bradley Beal needs to stay himself in Washington and become that second guy again, as long as we have, you know, the glimpses of John Wall that we used to see. You know, if John Wall comes back and he's still the fast, athletic, great defensive guy, you know, the only knock on John Wall's game was that he couldn't shoot. Other than that, John Wall, he could pass, he could rebound, he could steal the ball. He was a great shot blocker as a point guard. He could dunk on damn near everybody. He was very athletic, doing 360 layups, all types of stuff. Like, John Wall was that guy who just could not shoot. And Bradley Beal was a good supporting role for, he was a good second man for John Wall, right? You had two guards who could each give you 20 apiece. One could give you like 5 assists. The other one can give you 10 assists. One can give you like 4 or 5 rebounds. The other one can give you like 4 or 5 rebounds. And both of them could play, you know, very good defense. And when John Wall became absent because of injuries and some other stuff, Bradley Beal lost his defensive identity and just became this 30-point scoring monster, right? And that didn't impress me whatsoever because it was like Washington didn't go anywhere with that formula. You know, Jimmy Butler, when Derrick Rose went down, Jimmy Butler was still able to get Chicago to, you know, get into the playoffs and, you know, still be somewhat of a threat in the East. When Danny Granger went down, Paul George was still able to play, you know, and will the Indiana Pacers to being just as good as they were before. Bradley Beal wasn't somebody that did that. And, you know, I'm not going on my way to try and down talk Bradley Beal or anything. I'm not comparing him to, you know, superstar players that's had to do it. Oh, you know, what about when Wade's first healthy year after LeBron left, you know, they almost made the Eastern Conference Finals. Or, you know, look at Shaq, you know, I mean, look at Kobe, you know, 2 years after Shaq left, you know, he was still making the playoffs. And like, I'm not comparing him to them. I'm comparing him to players of his bracket. And there are certain players who were able to do it and certain players who weren't able to do it. Devin Booker has yet to take Phoenix to a playoffs. You know, Karl Anthony Towns couldn't take Minnesota to the playoffs outside of having Jimmy Butler that 1 year. Zach LaVine couldn't make the playoffs so far. So it's not like I'm going to go on my way and like try and pick on Bradley Beal, but it's like at this point, people need to deal with the fact that Bradley Beal is somebody who needs John Wall. Not to say Bradley Beal's not a good player, but he ain't a good leader. You need John Wall out there. If you get John Wall, who is, he's like, okay, I can go out there and I'm going to get mine, but I'll make sure you guys get yours too. I'm going to put you guys in the best possible situation for you to put up points and, you know, to be able to run the fast break and, you know, get my team involved. And Bradley Beal is just not somebody who can do that. He can't, unfortunately. So I'm very interested to see what happens next year when John Wall comes back. I'm also very interested to see what happens with Phoenix next year. The combination of Ricky Rubio and Devin Booker seem to be pretty good in the backcourt. You know, DeAndre Ayton is definitely going to do his thing down low. You know, with the presence that they made in the bubble, it's just like, wow. You know, that was crazy. They went undefeated in the bubble, no matter who they played, good team, bad team, mediocre team, everything in between. They came, they saw, they conquered. There was nobody that was able to stop Phoenix. And I think keeping that team together and using the system that they were using in the bubble, go out there and use that next season, and I guarantee Phoenix will make the playoffs as long as they attack like that. No reason why they wouldn't. Memphis Grizzlies, I'm definitely looking forward to seeing next year. We don't know if they really, really would have made the playoffs due to, you know, the shortage of the season and plans and stuff like that, right? Like, we don't know what really would have happened this year. And it would be very interesting to see what is going to happen next year with that team. Ja Morant is an exceptional talent. Very athletic, commands with an iron fist, has all the makings of a great superstar in the future. Nobody can ever take that away from him. Let's just hope that he's able to keep a very healthy career. Because his style of play isn't exactly the safest way to play. He's very aggressive when going to the rim. We know certain players have had problems because of having that play style, such as Dwayne Wade, who has not had a very healthy career, but a very hardy career. I'm very, very, very interested in seeing what happens with the New Orleans Pelicans. That's what I really want to see. Lonzo Ball has been shooting the ball better. Granted, he didn't shoot well in the bubble, but, you know, it's the bubble. Like I said, Phoenix went undefeated and still didn't make the playoffs, and I think that's the reason why they didn't want to play Zion that much, because it's like, if Phoenix can go undefeated and not make the playoffs, well then, what chance did New Orleans have in reality? Right? I think they just didn't feel like, you know, it was worth it. And I don't really blame them. You got to keep Zion healthy. You got to train him in the offseason. You got to get his body right. He has the power. He has the athleticism. He has the tools to be great. Broke a lot of records just in what little of a rookie season that he did have. So, I'm very interested to see how this plans or how this pans out. You know, Zion being a big but not tall power forward. Brandon Ingram, you know, really stretching the floor out with his length and his shooting and scoring ability. Makings of a young Kevin Durant. And, you know, the IQ and the passing ability of, and, you know, the floor generalism of Lonzo Ball, the scrappiness of Josh Hart. You know, there's a lot that goes into that team that is just like, they have the makings to have a great run in the very near future. Now all it takes is just having your coach do all the right things to put that together. And people don't hold coaches accountable enough. I heard Shannon Sharp blamed Kawhi Leonard and Paul George for the firing of Doc Rivers, right? And he was like, oh, you know, it's their fault. They blew the lead. And, you know, they blew the lead three straight games and this, that, and the third. It's like, well, Kawhi only had one bad game. So what about those other two games? And even with Kawhi having that bad game, right, like everybody's entitled to have a bad game. Did you pick the worst possible game to have a bad game? Yes. However, you don't think that dude was tired, man? And then he went in to talk about Kawhi's low management and all this other stuff. I really need to ask, Shannon Sharp, have you ever had an injury to your leg that ended a full season for you? Right, like, have you ever torn your meniscus or your MCL, your ACL? Like, have you ever torn or broken anything in your leg and then realized it just don't work the way it used to? Because I have, unfortunately. And it ain't fun. I can still do a lot of things. I can still run. I can still play ball. There's a lot of things I can still do. But I can't do it as consistently and expect the same strength that it had before. I ripped my Achilles tendons, messed it up. Like, it was bad. But um, when talking about somebody else's injuries, you don't have their body. You don't understand how their body works. You only know how your body works. Right? And there's a lot more conditioning that goes into the NFL than it does the NBA. But in the NBA, leg and back injuries kill careers. Be happy that this man Kawhi is still here, Shannon. And stop being a damn hater all the time. Please. Get it. I get it. Like, you hate on Kawhi because Skip hates on LeBron. And Kawhi is Skip's guy, LeBron's your guy. But this tit-for-tat thing, like, for real, because he's disliked LeBron for the longest. You ain't start hating on Kawhi until you partnered up with Skip Bayless and Skip Bayless jumped back on the Kawhi train. You find every single downfall and down point of Kawhi Leonard because of your dislike for Skip or your dislike for Skip's dislike of LeBron James. But you don't do it because it's something that Kawhi deserves or you have a genuine dislike for Kawhi or anything of that nature. You do it to counter Skip, and that's petty. Because Skip wasn't doing that to take shots at you. Skip was doing it because he just legit does not like LeBron James like that. He acknowledges how great LeBron is. I acknowledge how great LeBron is. I don't hate LeBron. I think LeBron's an amazing player. I think, like, LeBron's my number six all time right now. Right? Like, I got MJ, Kareem, and Kobe are, you know, in between the two and three spots. Magic and Bird. Like, that's my top five. Right underneath them are my next top five, which makes my top 10, of course, which is LeBron James, Tim Duncan, Bill Russell, Will Chamberlain, and Shaquille O'Neal. I got Hakeem at 11. I don't have him in my top 10. No knock to Hakeem, by the way. Because I think Hakeem is the most skilled big man that's ever did it. But he hasn't done in his career what Shaq's done in his career. Like, it is what it is. Anyways. When it's all said and done, there has to be a point where we look at people who have had leg injuries and people who have had back injuries and realize, like, a lot of them don't even come back from it. Kawhi was just like, I can come back from this. I can be great, but I have a certain pace that I got to move at. What team isn't going to want Kawhi and accommodate that? What team? Because in case you forgot, Shannon Sharp, LeBron wanted Kawhi. Load management and all. And you would have been all for it if he was on the Lakers with LeBron James, right? Okay, so don't diss him because he's doing it on the Clippers. And Skip Bayless is eating it up. Because I guarantee and I bet every dollar in my pocket you would not do that if he was on the Lakers with LeBron James. You want the proof? Rajon Rondo is the proof. Rajon Rondo is the proof. Because of the simple fact that you sit back and you praise Rajon Rondo for playoff Rondo, right? You praise Rondo. How often does Rondo play a full season? It's okay, I'll wait. And a lot of y'all will too. I swear, man. Shannon Sharp is lucky I'm not on that show. Because Shannon Sharp is a great man, was a great athlete, was great at what he did. But damn, he don't know nothing about basketball. Not by my standards, he don't. Like, I just feel like certain people just need to stick to their sport. Like, if you were a professional athlete and you were dominant in the sport that you played, you need to talk about that sport because you have not invested enough time throughout your life to be talking about this other sport, and you sound ridiculous when you do. Right? Like, Chris Carter on multiple occasions has said, you know, he's not a basketball guru. He has his opinions, right? But he doesn't try and sound like overly opinionated and make it seem like he has a bunch of valid points in his opinion, because he knows he ain't that high up on the basketball hierarchy of knowledge. Shannon Sharp needs to just do the same goddamn thing. Like, legitimately, that's what he needs to do. Like I said, no disrespect, because I think Shannon Sharp is amazing. Like I said, as an athlete and as, you know, an advocate of what black men should be today. Because when I get older, I want to be living my life the way Shannon Sharp is living his. Make no mistake about it. But damn, man. Well, I'm not going to open my mouth and talk about football like that, because I've had like one era of football that I really enjoyed, and that was the 2000s because of LaDainian Tomlinson. Like, there were a couple years of 90s football that I really followed, and that's because my Chargers had like Marion Butts, and then got Natron Means, had Nate Lewis, and Junior Seau. Like, we had, you know, Chargers had some relatively good teams back then, but, you know, once we got rid of LT, like, that killed football for me, first and foremost. And then once LT retired, I was just like, what am I even doing even watching this anymore? Like, LT was my Michael Jordan of football. And I'm not saying that because I think he was the greatest football player who's ever done it. I'm saying that because he was the greatest football player I've ever seen. He could throw, he could catch, he could run, he could stiff arm, he had power, he had speed, he had finesse, he could juke like it was nothing. Amazing footwork when he was out there. Like, you need to play in the slot, he could do that. Like, it, LT was just, he was the most versatile and gifted. If I had a chance to be in the NFL and be like any player, it would be LaDainian Tomlinson. Like, it would be LaDainian Tomlinson. And if I had to pick two other players, it would be LaDainian Tomlinson and LaDainian Tomlinson. That's it. Close the casket. That's it. The only black mark on his career was that he never got the ring he deserved to get. And that was because of some badass coaching. Because I've rarely ever seen that man have bad games. Whew. Anyways. There is, like I said, for next year, there's just a lot to look forward to. And getting back into the Doc Rivers thing with the Clippers, Doc Rivers deserved to be fired. He's going to sit back and blame Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. Not he isn't Doc Rivers, but he isn't Shannon Sharp. He's going to sit back and blame, you know, the two superstars. Oh, they're the ones that blew the 3-1 lead. Okay, well, guess what? Doc Rivers was on the same team. He was coaching the same team when Tracy McGrady blew a 3-1 lead in Orlando. He was coaching the same team with the Clippers when Chris Paul and Blake Griffin blew a 3-1 lead. Like, when does it become a point where it's not just the superstar's fault, and it's the fact that the coaching does not make sense anymore because there's no adjustments being made to how the opposing team is now playing and trying to rally to make that comeback? Doc Rivers sees the other team making a comeback, and he just sits there like he's astounded, like, oh my God, they didn't roll over. Holy fuck. Well, it's all right. Just go out there and do your best again. Holy shit. They came back again. Now we're fucking tied. Well, it's all right. Just go back out there and give it your best again. No, you got to come up with a fucking game plan, man.
They were killing people with that pick and roll system. And you knew it. You saw them do it against Utah. Then when they started killing the Clippers with it, you literally did not create a formula that was going to be an answer to the way that they were running the pick and roll. Why? The players can try and do, you know, different switch offs, but then they're just going to do picks for different players. So it's just going to be a scramble of, okay, who switches off where? Okay, who switches off where? Oh, okay, but it's a different guy that's setting the pick this time. Like, literally, your job as a coach is to observe what the hell is going on out there and make a game plan to stop it. You don't have to go on the court and do anything. You don't physically have to exert any energy onto that court for 48 minutes. All you got to do is drop a game plan to make sure that your guys are put in the best position possible to execute. And you couldn't do that. You got outcoached by Mike Malone. No offense to Mike Malone. He's been a damn good coach. But you're supposed to be an all-time great coach, Doc Rivers. Well, you only got one championship to your name, and that was because you had three superstar players, an upcoming Rondo, who ended up being four all-stars at one point in time. You only made the finals two times in your whole entire career as a head coach. And with that being said, the last time it happened was 10 years ago. So people are just supposed to sit back and keep on giving you chances because of 10 years ago as your last finals appearance and your only ring was 12 years ago. I was 15 when you won a ring. I'm 27 now. I was literally a sophomore in high school when that happened. I've been out of high school for almost 10 years now. Like, when do we pack it up? Well, the correct answer is now, because he's gone. And sorry, Sharp, there ain't nothing you can do about it unless you're willing to take his spot. And I bet you ain't gonna do that. Whew. Now that I got that out of my system. Like I said before, I'm very interested in seeing how these NBA finals are gonna play out. And, this is something that you aren't going to want to miss, ladies and gentlemen. I know I certainly don't want to miss it. And I think what's going to happen, what's going to unfold, is going to be something amazing. I think this is going to be a great series. It's not going to be the most watched series. It's not. But it has all the makings of being a great series. So I'm going to sit back and I hope y'all are too. We're going to sit back. We're going to relax. Eat whatever you want to. Do whatever you want to. Just stay safe and not sorry. Because I think we are going to be in for one hell of a ride in this postseason going into the NBA Finals. So with that being said, I want everybody to don't even predict who's gonna win. At this point it don't even matter. No need to predict who's going to win. Just enjoy the show. That's gonna be all for tonight. I've been, you know, enjoying the return of NBA Clutch Time and being able to talk with you guys. Thank you to my audience and my consistent listeners who tune in to hear me out and hear what I got to say. I really do appreciate you guys. Love you all. And until the next episode, everybody take care and be safe. Have a nice night.